Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, millions of Floridians were left without power in the days following Hurricane Irma, some of you remember. A new report from Florida's Public Service Commission is looking at what steps the state can take to fortify its electric grid and get utility workers the resources they need to operate quickly in the aftermath of another storm. Among the recommendations, tree trimming near power lines, introducing more underground power lines, and ensuring there's a path for utility workers to get in as millions of Floridians evacuate. Mark Vitrell is the executive director of the Florida Public Service Commission, and he's joining us via Skype from Tallahassee. Mark, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Remind everyone how many people lost their power after Irma. It was a lot.
It was. Approximately 62% of customers in the state were at some point and for some period of time without power during Irma.
And what was the standard response time for the utility companies to get that back up?
The information we collected in our review indicated that within about an average of a little over 2 days, most customers were restored. However, there were certainly some experiences that extended well beyond that due to extenuating circumstances, customers in remote locations. But typically within two to three days, the vast majority of those customers impacted had been restored.
Now, looking at your report, one of the major recommendations that you presented to legislators was the need for utility workers to get into a hurricane zone during evacuations in the immediate aftermath. Why was that such an issue during Irma?
I think the unprecedented nature of Irma was such that it impacted huge parts of the state, particularly very populated areas. And so the evacuations certainly had an impact on road congestion, not only for those that were trying to evacuate, but also for the restoration workers from the utilities and outside workers who were coming into the state to position themselves to restore service more efficiently. And so I think what we were pointing out was that there needs to be some consideration in the future to make sure that those bucket trucks and workers have got some kind of prioritization to be able to move around the state quickly and efficiently and get to where people are out of power. And also to ensure that there's some recognition that they're going to need fuel and that there can be resources provided so that those bucket trucks can stay fueled and stay operational. And also to make sure there's lodging facilities available for those workers, particularly those coming from out of state, that they can have their time to rest in between their long days, and then can keep the restoration activity at a high level.
And coming back though to again making sure that these workers have access, is it about creating separate roadways for them?
No, I don't think it's, we're not suggesting anything like that. Although that's really transportation really isn't in the commission's jurisdiction, but we are suggesting that to the extent, you know, law enforcement can help assist in those kind of bucket trucks and restoration workers to be able to move around more efficiently, that needs some consideration.
All right, let's talk about the strength of the electric lines. This is such a hotly debated topic ever since the storm. What are some of the recommendations you have for handling storm force winds and future hurricanes when it comes to the electric lines?
Right. Well, certainly since the 2004-2005 storms that were particularly devastating to many customers in the state, the commission directed the utilities to undergo significant and aggressive storm hardening practices. That included inspections of poles and facilities to conduct maintenance of those poles and facilities where they saw problems, for example, rotted wood poles or weakened facilities to get in there and repair, and also to harden the facilities. And that means replacing hard wood poles with concrete and steel so that those types of facilities, particularly on the transmission system, can withstand hurricane and tropical storm force winds.
I'm talking with Mark Vitrell, Executive Director for the Florida Public Service Commission. The commission recently released a report detailing some of the lessons learned following Hurricane Irma and has recommendations for the legislature on how to better fortify our electric grid. And he's joining us again via Skype from Tallahassee. Now, we talk about, Mark, other ways to protect those power lines. And again, this is something a lot of people were asking about, underground power lines. Are these more effective?
Well, certainly in a situation of protecting those facilities from wind, underground works very well because it's not exposed to wind not exposed to flying debris, not exposed to vegetation and trees that can fall or come into contact. So in that respect, underground does perform very well. There is consideration needs to be given in areas that may be more flood prone, because in the instances of a flooded area, an underground facility may take more time to restore and be more expensive to restore than an overhead. But in general, underground does perform very well. And we're seeing a significant growth in underground facilities. Virtually all new construction, new residential developments, new commercial developments and businesses that are going into new areas are generally being undergrounded. So we're seeing a significant growth in underground electric lines in the state.
Now, we had our reporters Alex Gonzalez and Caitlin Swatowski investigated the issue of the underground power lines, and they found that if storms are heavier in water than wind, the issue of flooding can become a problem. You did mention that. And if the water seeps into those PVC pipes holding those wires, that could be problematic. But can underground power lines really be the panacea to this problem?
Well, I think it can help make an important contribution, but it needs to be looked at carefully, and the costs need to be considered carefully. Again, underground, the cost of undergrounding can be borne by customers, and so the commission is also very mindful of ensuring that the electric rates customers pay are reasonable. But certainly, we're seeing the cost differential between underground and overhead are beginning to narrow. We're also seeing the utilities are initiating some innovative new programs to test undergrounding in neighborhood lines that are on street level and affect individual customers, just to test the economics of undergrounding and also test the issues that are involved in undergrounding those lines, customer acceptance of those kind of the construction, and also some of the other issues. So we're seeing some real innovative initiatives in undergrounding.
So what about the issue of tree trimming? How much of that responsibility falls on the residents, and how much of it should be taken care of by the utility companies?
Right. Well, that was one of the initiatives that the commission directed the utilities to put more focus on tree trimming coming out of the 04-05 storms. And they are on, the utilities certainly are required to conduct regular tree trimming on a cycle to make sure within their rights of way, where the utilities have power line facilities, to make sure that is trimmed and clear. However, those rights of ways are limited in how far in the width. And so there can be trees and vegetation that's outside the rights of way, where the utility may have some challenges in getting access to and in trimming some of those facilities or removing those kind of problem trees, where you may have trees that are in different states of not being able to survive and could pose a risk to the electric facilities. That's where we're seeing some areas that there may need to be some additional focus, is how to deal with those types of vegetation and trees that are outside the utility's direct control.
You know, as we approach the heart of the hurricane season here in these coming weeks, do you believe the state's utilities are ready for another storm, another Irma?
Well, I think the information from the review that the commission conducted indicated that the storm hardening investments that have been made over these last 12 years have paid off. We saw a better performance coming out of Irma, even though there was a lot of outages. It was a devastating storm that affected virtually every county in the state with tropical storm force winds, and a huge swath of the state was impacted by hurricane force winds. The system performed well, and restoration was much faster because of those hardening investments and some of the lessons that we've learned from past experiences. So I think the utilities certainly have annual preparation activities that they do to inspect their systems and to ensure they've got resources in place to quickly respond in the event of outages from a storm.
Mark Futrell again with the Florida Public Service Commission. Mark, thanks so much for the time today, man. Appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome.
Again, Mark Futrell, he's the executive director of the Florida Public Service Commission. And that commission, as we mentioned, recently released a report detailing some of the lessons learned following Hurricane Irma. They have recommendations for the Florida legislature on how to better fortify our electric grid. He joined us via Skype from Tallahassee. Now, we'd love to hear from you, by the way. You can find us on Twitter, WLRN Sundial, and let us know what kind of changes have been made around your community. Have trees been trimmed back? Have you been doing any tree trimming? Or have they moved some of those electric lines underground, perhaps, in your community? Do you feel confident that if another storm comes through, that they're going to be able to get your power back up pretty quickly and that things seem a little bit safer or a little bit better? Again, find us on Twitter, WLRN Sundial. All right, still to come, we're...